Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hours, we continue our conversation about what matters most is the producer of VFN Radio's program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the one who's facing Nemo eye to eye, nose to nose, toes to toes, John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch the first hour. We were sitting here talking about the winter storm in Nemo that's taking place up there. Remember to keep everybody in the Northeast in your prayers. God is looking always for somebody who will stand in the gap for somebody who is facing something that's hard. Also, we talked about the ex-LAPD officer, Christopher, that is on a wild man, an aggressive manhunt going after him before anybody else is harmed by his brokenness. And we're praying that justice would come, but you've got to catch. If you also missed in the first hour, Dr. Benjamin Carson talking about political correctness at the Fellowship National Prayer Breakfast, you will be encouraged. Political correctness is destroying the fabric of our country, he says, as the president looks on, who is very PC. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hopefully we're going to be talking about, in this extra hour, the wisdom moment. We're going to be talking about an awesome poem by a young Christian lady by the name of Emma. We're going to be also speaking about a remedy. Is there a remedy for America and our condition and so much more? You're listening to VFN Radio Extra Hour. My goodness, I mean, when I think about Nemo and what's taking place up there, I just want to encourage everybody to just pause and understand God looks for someone to stand in the gap, and he wants us to demonstrate mercy and kindness and let him be the one who decides what's going to happen. But if he finds enough people who will say, please don't prevent this from happening, please prevent this from happening, please don't let the storm hurt anybody, that's his heart. He's just looking for somebody who will stand in the gap. Anybody, anywhere. When you start seeing things happen like, Christopher over there with the ex-LAPD officer, your heart should be, dear God, bring justice to this situation. Stop it, that nobody would be harmed, no matter what. That's our place, is to intercede between the consequences of someone's actions and the individual in hopes that they would repent and they would find God. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're called to do.
Yeah,
you know, and to the level we show mercy to others, God will show mercy to us. Yeah, man, that was. Did you see Emma? Did you read Emma's?
Oh my goodness, yes. We're just talking about the little children. We're talking about how we don't want to be in the way of what caused Jesus to be indignant, suffering the little children not to come to the Lord. And I just was so touched by Emma's poem. Oh my goodness. We have a poet in our
syllables in the word poem. Poem. Tournament. Poem.
Well, it's a poem, okay? We have a poet in our midst, and I'd like to read to you her poem. It's called My Jesus.
Poem. There was like two syllables. Poem. Listen, you gotta be curious. Diction is important when it comes to poetry. So you got.
Oh, I know. Like,
you gotta say it right. Don't mess up her stuff.
All that good stuff.
Don't mess up her stuff now. Don't mess up her stuff. You wanna go play golf? You remember last guy talked about that?
I'll try to do my best, and then we can get you to read it.
All right.
here we go. His face as white as snow, his eyes burn right through my very soul. He plays a wonderful role. He shelters me and always fills my bowl. When I am sad, he holds me tight and tells me not to fright, because he is Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and always will be. How awesome is that?
That's good, but I don't think you read it right.
I tried.
Yeah, she's poured her heart into this. This is her work, man. This is art. You look at it. You observe how the diction and the words and what's going on. Something probably. I would assume. I don't know. I've got to find out. But maybe it's like this. It's called My Jesus Poem. His face as white as snow. His eyes burn right through my very soul. He plays a wonderful role. He shelters me. And he always fills my bowl. When I'm sad, he holds me tight and tells me not to fret, because he is Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and always will be. By Emma. This is so much better,
wow,
isn't it? Right? Yeah.
You're hired.
I'm hired. Right. Oh, praise God.
You should
I am really.
No, you're
not. Really? I mean, did you feel that? I just feel that. I love poetry. I love that. If I had time.
Oh.
You know, I don't. But you can really just vent. I mean, you could just talk some stuff, yeah, you know, in poetry. You can get it out. I would love to be, you know, those clubs where you go to and they just read poetry.
Spoken word. I'm insane when it gets to one of them places. But
yeah, and just get up and read your stuff. Don't read Emma's. You'll mess it up.
Right. How old is Emma?
I was going down a snowy hill one day and got some on my face.
How old is Emma?
She's 11.
Although we all knew this could be a trace.
Right.
Of chemicals, that is. Jersey. The end.
Shout out to Emma. Great job.
Yeah, it was. Great. It was really, really, you know, it sounded better when I read it. You can let me know. I mean, you can let us know. And since I'm hired, that's really exciting.
Hey, wow.
That is very encouraging.
You should be on the radio.
Yes. Hey, that's a good idea. How to do that. You know, I had a chance to talk with a friend of mine, Pastor Dan Livingston. You guys know Pastor Dan.
Great guy. Yeah.
And I was just so encouraged. You know, he's just such a warrior for God. I mean, he's a warrior for God. And he's ministering with expectancy, and just he's poured his heart out. And just so many people are being drawn to God through his ministry right now. And just planting churches. I'm like, ooh. I love that. You know, he's planting churches, and they have a church plant up in the Bronx, church plant in Alabama, church plants in Florida, and different areas. And he's also a representative for Christians United for Israel, CUFI. And he's one that began to connect us to CUFI, and we've been a supporter ever since. But it's just so encouraging because you know, God's really moving on their heart to move in the heart of where the Brownsville Revival outpouring happened.
Ooh.
And there's a large building there that they're believing God for. And I'm thinking, if anybody's perfect, I mean, he's like, his DNA is perfect for that area. I mean, he could show forth the love of God like nobody else. That's, that would be so cool, wouldn't it? Just see the move of God in there. So it's exciting to see God moving in the church and seeing the good praise reports, what's happening with, you know, Pastor Dan Livingston, and just keep them in your prayers. And just it's exciting. I just love that when we're planting churches and we're going out and reaching the lost. That is definitely, definitely, you know, my heart. Well, do you remember the time that I was you know, I thought, well, you know, I just want to get in an airplane and I want to fly like 10,000 feet up in the air just because I want to have a brave moment. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I remember that.
You know, I think I was 20. Was I 20?
No, you were not.
I wasn't 20. Was I 30?
No.
Y'all can remember everything but your own sin. It is amazing. It's amazing how well you remember everything.
You have to remember it. Yeah, you have an uncanny ability.
Yeah, right.
Some things. I don't know. But
some things, we think about it, that, you know, I can't find my keys, but I can remember back in June.
That's right. It's unbelievable. Like,
did y'all hear that? What? There's a demon loose. Okay, So, you know, I just wanted to be able to, I wasn't 30. I must have been maybe 40. Can you believe that?
That was a long time ago.
Oh, I know. Is that amazing? Okay. And so, you know, I don't mind 40 as long as my waist is not 40 now. I don't care. Right? You know what I'm saying? My goal is that wouldn't
good.
Be. That's true,
that's
isn't
it? That's a good goal.
That's a good goal.
That's a good goal.
I'm shooting for it.
Yes.
Anyway, so I'm going to go, you know, because there's just so many mindsets. There's just we get stuck. It's amazing. You wouldn't know about this, right? Getting stuck in a mindset.
What are you talking about?
It was born in a mindset. You just like got it all figured out, all kind of stacked in place. And Okay, not really. Anyway, the so I'm going to go break these mindsets. What's the best way to break a mindset than to fly 10,000 feet in the air and strap yourself to a hillbilly who's barefoot.
Barefoot.
Who's got, he looks like the duck.
Oh, Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty dude. He really did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
The Dynasty dude. And,
Eli was.
But it is, you put this whole harness on and they teach you how to jump and you hold your hands up. I'm going to parachute. Mm-hmm. It's called tandem jumping where you're jumping with somebody, which I think he was just an anchor. But, you're hooked to them with just two little clamps called D clamps. That's it. I mean, your whole life is hooked on two D clamps. And of course, if you're in the ministry and you've been in the ministry quite some time, it's pretty much comparable. It's nothing. There's not much difference. I mean, if you're actually, you know, on the front lines, and so here we are. We're going in the air, and this place is. I was so high in the air that the plane would go, it'd fly to the east, and then it would come back and fly to the west like it was climbing, climbing up steps to get higher and higher and higher. So you go in there, you're sitting on the floor of the plane, which is at least, I don't know, 8 inches wide. And so you're just packed in. You got one guy by your shoulder who's going to jump. You got a guy in front of you who's going to jump, and a guy in front of him is going to jump. And then we have our hillbillies behind us. So we're sitting on the floor. And the door's closed. So you're kind of looking out the window, and it's kind of normal. You're not like, you know, you're not thinking. I mean, I had no paradigm what 10,000 feet looks like when you're on an eight inch floor, but it looks big. It looks really big. And so, but I'm just like, daggummit, I'm going to break these mindsets. I'm going to get past anything that's holding me back. And if not, I'll just die. you know what I'm saying? Cause it just gets sick. Don't you get sick and tired? Of being sick and tired, and it's just these things that just lock down. And if you look for a grid for people who are willing to step outside what they know and trust God, it's not a large number of people. They write books about them. Mm. And if you're wanting to do something, you know, outside the grid, and that's where Jesus moves and lives, and that's where the miracles happen, that's where the power happens. I mean, you got to get outside your mind. And, you know, I spent years at that point, you know, trying to get the unity thing going and went through all the processes and all the breakfasts and all the big things. God did some awesome things, but it's like, okay, what's next? What's after that? So here we were. We were 10,000 feet in the air. The earth looked like a painting. I could see the Gulf of Mexico. We were in Foley. I think it was Foley, Alabama, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Foley, Alabama, on a farm. Foley, Alabama. And so all of a sudden, you know, we're there. We're at 10,000 feet. You can't hear nothing. It's like, we're going to do this next. You're going like, what? I need to hear you. This is important. I think we're fixing to jump out of this plane. You
know, it's like, that was amazing. But the breakfast that you had before you jumped. I'm like, you were not concerned about the upcheck. Oh, you're
I had
all.
Not a clue. I was naive. I didn't know squat. And it's like, what we're going to do? And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't hear you. Finally. With all this screaming and hollering, and I'm still sitting on the floor, I'm not attached to nobody. I don't have the parachute on me. You know, hillbilly dude's got the parachute on him. He's barefoot now. Oh, and he's got the parachute on him. I'm not yet attached to this dude.
Right.
And they open the door. And so all this whole side of the plane just opens up. And it's like, oh, my goodness. I'm on the edge of a cliff 10,000 feet up with no mountain underneath it. And it just looks like a painting down there. It didn't even look like it, which is, you just got to say, okay, that is dangerous, whatever that painting is, dangerous, if I jump out this plane. And so then he says, he looks at me, he attaches himself to those little D-ring things behind me, something. He goes, slide over. I'm thinking, I am over. There is no over to slide. And then he literally takes his chest and he starts moving like this. And he literally picks me up like I'm attached person to his chest and swings it over the door.
Hangs you up
and I'm thinking, my God, give me a chance. I might not want to do this. I might not want to do this, you know? And so he's like, come on, we got to do it. And what happens is before that, people started just jumping out of the plane. And it's just like your brain's going, that's not right.
There's something wrong with
that. You don't jump out of the plane and kind of hang around the plane a little bit and then kind of gradually go down. When you jump out, you immediately just go, shoot. You're just like, boom. You're like, where did they go? What happened to them, you know? And that's when he told me, slide over. I'm like, I am over. There is no over here. Anyway, so he swings me over by the door. And I'm thinking, I just need time to think. I need time to think. And of course, that's what they don't want you to do is think. So obviously, when you need time to think, you're holding onto the door jamb. I'm thinking, I don't have to do ministry. What am I doing? You know, this is, I don't have to do this kind of stuff. And I'm hanging like this. And of course, then I think I'm speaking in tongues. I don't know. I just know my tongue's sticking out going, ow, blow. Thank God for the edit. I appreciate the editor on that because it came out really brave. And then finally, he shoves me out the door. Finally, you just let go. You just think, you know what? Who cares? Let's go. And you jump. And nobody told me about earplugs.
Oh,
125 mile an hour wind passing past your ear. All I could think was, I'm going to be deaf. I'm going to be deaf. So if you do the stupid thing, put earplugs on. And all of a sudden, man, we're just like doing somersaults in the air. And we're just like, you're just free. You think, well, might as well enjoy this last few seconds of life. You know? And then all of a sudden, we open up like you're flying and you're a certain pose. You're still dropping. No shoots up yet, and you're looking. You're like flying in the air like a bird that's way too high, and you're looking at the Gulf of Mexico. You're looking at the broccoli down there, which is actually 75-foot trees that's going to kill you.
All right.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, "Here it goes," and he pulls the parachute, and that's when I'm just holding my hands tight because that's when are these two D rings going to hold me? Because what's going to happen, that parachute opens and it jerks you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two rings, you know, either he's going to go up and I'm going to go down, or he's going to go. And he pulled those things like, bam! And it caught me. And all of a sudden, it's just peaceful. It's just so peaceful. You're just kind of suspended in the air and you're looking around. You're thinking, man, this is so beautiful because God's world, the whole world, you literally can see the curvature almost.
Oh, wow.
You know, have the distance. You got the Gulf and the things and the states and... And the farms kind of still look like things you would see on Google Maps from way up high. And as you're getting closer and closer, you just gradually, you got to tell yourself, this is dangerous. This is dangerous because it doesn't seem dangerous. It just doesn't seem dangerous. And of course, it is dangerous to fall 10,000 feet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I land. And I'm telling you, the first thing I said was, what? You got vision, right?
That's right.
You got vision. And it's so important because you get stuck in a mindset. Let's make that available on the torch. I got a video of that they put together. We edited out all the screaming, the hollering, the crying, the door jam holding, the tongue thing going on.
Right.
That's hopefully gone. Hopefully it's burned somewhere. Hopefully.
We can resurface
that. No, that's no sense. There's no sense in doing that. But, you know, I just want to encourage you today that you do whatever you got to do to break the mindsets. One of the big things you have to do is... If you're trying to not think like everybody else is thinking, stop hanging around the people that are thinking like you don't want to think. Because you're gonna talk like them, you're gonna walk like them, and you're just gonna buy in because that is quote the norm, even though it might not be right. That's the norm. You got to be willing to go against the grain. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. He said, you know, be not conformed. Be not conformed. We're supposed to be nonconformists. To the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen, we can get stuck, and sometimes it'll take the next generation to come out of it. That's how stuck we can get. And it's like, you know, we only have one lifetime to be able to make a difference for God. And there's so many people lined up to tell you, you're fine. Just meet me at the pancake breakfast. You know, you're doing good. Don't worry about what are you doing bucking up like that. You just go ahead and get in your little groove, and, you know, we'll just see you. You know, it's like, my goodness. Have you not read the word? Have you not seen what God can do if we believe him? Don't you know that every day people are dying and going to hell, that we're the ones supposed to be out reaching out for them, making a difference? Listen, if our mindsets say that we are not supposed to be on the front lines, we need to jump from planes. We need to do whatever it takes to be able to break those mindsets, crying out to God, say, Lord, demolish those mindsets so that I can be a faithful soldier, a faithful warrior in your kingdom. I'll be right back. You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic. You know, John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of
of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide, you know, just I can get to my secret place, you know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now, you're a believer that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease all the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods, but go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you, a video and some information to be able to help. You can start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15, it happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it maybe, you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time, Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Jumping out of airplanes, if you missed, I do want to welcome our new listeners to VFN Radio. I want to welcome Timothy and Jimmy and Brian and Nate and Robert and Eric and Stephen and Timothy and Daniel and William, Rich and Natalie and Matt and all you guys out there. There's so many I can't even name. I just want to welcome you to the virtual audience of a VFN radio program. Welcome Jake and Ron, and we just love to have new listeners coming and sitting in the stadium. You know, thousands are joining us now, and we're believing that the whole world is going to begin to get encouraged and inspired in this next season of what God's about to do, because we believe, although there's two roads ahead, and we'll talk about them, but we're going to choose and promote the good road, the right way, and the way of the third great awakening and an outpouring of God's power. I was just speaking last night to Steve in Pittsburgh, and it was just so encouraging, you know, how you know, God's just touching the city in such a short period of time. You know, through him in Pittsburgh, it's one point, you know, I was talking about a number. I said it's 1.2 million. And it's actually 1.2 million.
Is it really?
It was 1.2. It's 1.2 million. It's the county there. And it's just things that God is doing. We just got to change our paradigm of what we're called to do. And this is the thing, and I may have said this earlier, but I want to say it again, that this is what the Word of God tells us, he says, you know, do not forsake the fellowship, the fellowshipping of coming together, especially as the day grows closer. But the thing about it is, that's one thing we have not forsaken in America. I mean, that's all we do is fellowship. Mm-hmm. We've actually forsaken the work for the fellowship. And think about what were they doing. It doesn't say they were rebelling. It didn't say they weren't living for God. It didn't say, it's like, wait a minute. Now, fellowship is meant to encourage us, but we're called to do the work. And is that, how do we get back into the fields again? We want to be found when the Lord returns doing his work.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you haven't, 82%, listen to me. This is what he said. He said, it would be good for the master to find you doing the work.
Right.
And not doing the work, it didn't. I'm not going to talk about the food processor thing, cut up, thrown to pieces, and it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
What happened so that the one's not in the work. And understand this, that that the harvest is plentiful. There's never an issue with the harvest, but the workers are few. Now, trying to be a worker in the harvest field and continue to have your idols and your lusts and you're trying to serve God and money, you know what I'm saying? That's a very frustrating thing. It's not going to work out. But if you truly just say, you know, I'm here for the harvest, everything else I do supports the fact that I'm going to be in the harvest field, then you can say, here I am, God, send me. Right. And knowing that, then you want to be found with grape stains on your fingertips and vineyard soil on your feet. That's what you want to do. You want to be amongst God's people, helping them, encouraging them. You want to be in the harvest field, letting people know that God loves them and God has a plan for their life and he desires to be able to show them mercy. But we need to be found doing his work. I know a different gospel has been preached in America, but just read it. Just read Jesus' words.
Mm-hmm.
Just read the gospels. Just read the gospels. And if that doesn't work, just read the, if it's your red letter edition, and just say, hey, you know what? I'll just read Jesus' words in the gospels.
Right.
And he says very specifically that it would be good. It would be good for the master to return to find you, you know, taking care of his people. He also said it would be good to find out that you have invested what he's given you to be able to bring a harvest or interest to him. And the ones who don't, he says, wicked and lazy servant. The ones who do, he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Mm.
You know, it'll be good to be prepared and abiding. Five virgins did, and five virgins didn't.
That's right.
And people have a lot of different things to say about that, but just read what he said. Five of them got in, and five of them wanted to get in, but all they do is bang on the door, and Jesus said, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
There was people that said, Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, did we not? And he talks all these different gifts. And he says, but I never knew you. Over and over again, we have to know God. God has to know you.
Right.
And you want to just jump out of this, whatever is being taught, that if you didn't know that, and get into to God, get in his word and begin to abide with him. It's so, so very, very important, because America right now is facing some we're at a serious crossroads in America. And the question is there a remedy for America? You know, is there a remedy? You know, you look for, if you got a cold or you have a cough or something, you go through the medicine cabinet and you're looking for a remedy. You go to the doctor and says, you know, I got a this or I got a that. And so he or she goes, maybe this, maybe that. What they're trying to do is come up with a remedy to remedy it. In other words, fix the issue, fix the problem, fix the cough or whatever. And God talks about a remedy. He talks about a remedy in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 when he's talking about his people. People are talking about, they're saying, you know, God's got a covenant with America. He's not going to, like, oh my goodness. You're not even written in the Word of God, America. Come on. I mean, like, he doesn't have a covenant with Israel?
Right.
Have you looked at the history of Israel? And so he's talking to his people right here, and he spoke to them and he's warned them, but he's saying, listen, the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again because he had pity on his people and his dwelling place. Understand this, that when something's happening and there's two roads that are before us, one road is destruction, loss, captivity, and the other road is mercy, grace, forgiveness, blessing, outpouring, restoration. It's two roads. It's a crossroad. And Israel was at the crossroad at that particular time in history. And what God did, what he talks about here, is that he sent messengers. He sent messengers. And what I am to you right now, I'm a messenger. I'm a messenger sent by the unction of the Holy Spirit, who spoke to me specifically about some things and just drove me, like Jonah to Nineveh, to tell you this and for us to be here, and also to the ones that are on the air with me now. And so he tells us in Amos, the book of Amos, the prophet Amos, chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, he says, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Has not the Lord caused it? So get over the blindness of men who just are convinced that things accidentally happen. And sometimes things happen, but understand his word says, when disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Then he goes on to say there in Amos, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing. Think about it. He doesn't do some things. He does nothing without revealing his plans. Think about it. He does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. He says, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? And the Lord just reminded me this morning as I was spending time with him that, you know, I don't want to miss my responsibility in your life and in this season, that we are here for the purpose of the harbingers, to warn you. But understand, it's the kindness and the sternness of God. There's two. We're warning you about a choice. You're at a crossroads. And it's great to know you're at a crossroads. This one's danger. This one's blessing. Choose which one do you want. Do you want curses or do you want blessings?
Yeah.
And the good news of our Lord, so the fact that he would even send somebody to warn us, that's how awesome he is. Think about it. The adversary who deceives God's people and mankind continually attempts to twist in the minds of men their perception of God. But you know what? He is our long-suffering, merciful God, having pity on the very ones who wouldn't listen or acknowledge or even obey him. He's wanting to demonstrate his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace, and he's saying, listen, you're at the crossroads, God's people. You're at the crossroads, not the people who don't know God. So we would say this in the context of America. Church, you know, we're at a crossroads. And somebody says, well, that would never happen. Read Revelation, read the letters to the church. But to understand, you're empowered then. So God is sending messenger after messenger to let you know that, let us know that it's so important that you can choose the right thing. And he's wanting to demonstrate his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, his kindness, and just to overflow to you personally or whatever, and to a people, and to a nation. But it's hinged on, what will you choose? God is always speaking to his people. And certain points, he comes in history where he just literally begins to warn an individual, a family, a nation, to begin to turn. There comes a point in time when he just says, you know, your cup is full. There comes a time when he's tried every remedy. And it's so cool. It's like, you would even try another remedy for me? You love me so much. Mm-hmm. Think about this. You love me so much that I was such a jerk when you last tried to reach me. Now you're going to try another remedy to reach me.
Wow.
And then I was a jerk again, and I didn't even respond to you. And then you tried another remedy to reach me. God, you're so good, God. Oh, my goodness. This is what he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. He says, consider therefore the kindness and the sternness of God. Kindness to you, providing that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. So there's two roads that you have to choose what you're going to go on. And if you understand, first of all, God loves you and God's got a plan for your life, but you got to choose him and choose his ways, then you have no problem making the right choices. But if you are convinced what the devil told you about God is true when it isn't, then you're going to have a difficult struggle. You're going to believe that God hates you, that God's just tolerating you, that you never live up to his standards and all that religious junk. And the truth is, he's looking for remedies. He's trying this and trying that, and he's going through, quote, his medicine cabinet, trying to cure this illness in your life, in your nation, in your family, in your state, in your country, world.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, maybe this will work. Maybe this will work. And then he says, you know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you know, God said this, you know, clearly appearing to Solomon. God showed up and appeared to Solomon, talking to him. David's son, King David's son, he said, when I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour your land, or send a plague among my people. Think about it. Just like Amos says, he's telling us, listen, there's no storm hitting no city that God's not aware of.
Right.
He says, when I do this, I'm trying to get your attention. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, which we always talk about abiding with God,
right,
and turn from our wicked ways, which is repent. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Repentance is being broken for our sin and leaving that sinful life. And so these things are happening, and that's what's happening to Israel right here in Chronicles, and that's what's happening to America. And God is demonstrating ahead of time, before it even happens, he appeared to the in the face of Solomon, and he's telling him, this is how it works, Solomon. This is how it works, America. This is how it works, Church of America. This is how it works. He says, when I shut up the heavens, when I do these things, he says, and if you'll do these four things, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, which is abide, and turn from your wicked ways, which is to repent. He says, if you'll do this, then I'll hear from heaven. In other words, my ear is turned back to you again. I'll forgive your sins, and I'll heal your land. He said, this is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a good cliche. This is not a concept to get people to pray. The creator of the universe is telling Solomon to his face, this is how it works. Understand this. He says, and he goes on to say in two more things, he says, and my eyes will be opened, and my ears will be attentive to your prayers.
Mm.
What does that mean? His eyes can be closed, and his ears can be shut. And you can be religious all you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to hear you until you respond to what's going on. God speaks to his people through weather patterns, through economy, through your job, geothermal type shakings of the earth, food and water shortages, you know, empowering or allowing enemies to come in and just rob you or take stuff from you or to come across your borders. And understand, this is happening. It happens because, and we're seeing right now, we're seeing just calamity increase and like birthing pains of this disaster on America. If we don't turn, it's just increasing, increasing. But understand, God, it's a remedy for God to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remedy, but maybe we won't respond to the remedy. Maybe we will respond to the remedy. And this can happen as an individual level, where God is dealing with a man or a woman or a family or an entire city or maybe even an entire nation. You know, maybe it's personal relationship storms or loss of a job or a constant need for expenditures because for your home, your car, or your body, because everything just seems to be falling apart. Maybe it's food shortages. Maybe you know you're having to go through a season that you never thought you would have to because you don't have enough money for your food. Or maybe it's being victimized. It's like, how come I'm always being victimized in my life? And it's like, maybe I just need to repent. Maybe I just need to, that these are harbingers, that these are messengers from God speaking to me, that he wants me to take the right road. All during these storms, these struggles, God is speaking through his prophets and his messengers, warning us. Why? Because he loves us, and he is having pity on us. He doesn't want to see destruction and these things happen to us. It's the pity of God.
Mm.
The sad reality is that he has a hope for this person, maybe you, or persons, or family, or city, or nation, that these very ones that he's warning won't ignore what he's saying, that they'll turn, that we'll turn. Because God gives us the choice. Ever since the Garden of Eden, he's put everything together, and he says, now you choose between the two trees. Are you going to choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Or are you going to choose the tree of life?
Right.
Are you going to choose everything in the garden? What are you going to choose? And so Don't quit waiting for somebody else to make the choice for you. You've got to choose. You've got to discern what's happening and the calamity that's taking place and realize it happens because of our choices that we live in. And we can make different choices. The people that we're going through these different situations that we have to understand the remedy is to stop the sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that stops the destruction. To turn away from our wicked ways, to pray, to abide, and to be humble. But the difficult thing is this, is that we, if we are in sin like that, we're blinded.
Mm.
We're blinded. And it was like we're already making terrible decisions. We can't see our hand in front of our face. We don't know our right hand from our left hand, spiritually speaking. How are we going to make the right choices? How is God going to remedy this? Isn't that unfair? I mean, and he said to Jonah, he said, Jonah's going, I don't think you should, you know, save this city. Nineveh's so bad. And God says, should I not be concerned about this great city? They can't even tell their right hand from their left.
Hmm.
And he knows our state. But what was his answer? And this is why it's so very, very important and imperative to understand the ways of God. That God says to Nineveh that I'm going to put a watchman on the wall. I'm going to tell somebody what's about to happen. And he's going to go. Jonah's going to go to that city. He's going to begin to tell these people who don't know their left hand from the right hand. And now they're going to actually know what's about to happen. They wouldn't have known outside of Jonah being sent by God. So God sends messengers to us to let us know. And this is very important. If you know what God is saying and you're not telling anybody, that's not good.
Hmm.
You know, hardship, it's understand these hardships and things that are happening. As we're told plainly in Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Endure hardship as sons. God is treating you as sons. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Understand this whole quaking and this shaking is a loving God going, I want to be merciful to you. I want to be able to forgive your sins. Listen, there's no sin too big that my grace is not sufficient for, but you got to choose me. You got to choose my way. You got to get back. You got to listen to my messengers. And when I think about Ezekiel 33, when he talks about the storms form, and he says, the Lord clearly says right here to Ezekiel, he says, when I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land choose one of their men, like Jonah was chosen for Nineveh, mm-hmm. to make them the watchmen, and he sees the storm, he sees the sword, he sees the famine, he sees the plague coming against the land, and he blows his trumpet and warns the people. No matter their response, the individual who knows will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a responsibility. You've got to stand up. And that's why we're right here on VFN Ready. We're telling you. That's why we're talking to you. We're warning you. Listen, there's two roads. One is awesome and one is horrific. And I don't know how long that we're going to have this choice, because there's a default setting in the heavenlies right now that we're going to default towards a horrific road if we don't make a choice for the righteous road. And if he warns, and if you warn them and let them know the storm is real and the storm is coming, and they don't make a right choice, that they're individually going to suffer for that choice, but you're going to spare your own life. But if you don't warn them and this disaster does happen, for example, if Jonah didn't go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh what he knew to be true, then all the Ninevites who would have been destroyed, their blood would have been on Jonah's hand. And by the grace of God, it wasn't, because literally God was just creating shaking environments and weather patterns to get, he was like, Jonah, you're the remedy, son. You're the remedy for Nineveh. You have the remedy. I don't know if it's going to cure them from this sin issue, but just give it, be the remedy. Be the remedy. And why does God hold this one so accountable? Because understanding, that's the only way they're going to know. There has to be somebody who can see clearly, hear clearly, because the people are blinded by their sin. Their minds are blinded. He said they didn't know their right hand from their left, and he had compassion on them. What does he do? He puts somebody that can see in their midst that tells them, and possibly they would respond to the remedy. It's time for men and women of God who know exactly what's going to take place, at least in part of what's going to take place, he's shown you clarity, to rise up and let them know. Tell them about the kindness of God and the sternness of God. Tell them about the awesome possible outpouring and the third great awakening. Simultaneously let them know the sternness of God. If we don't repent, it's not going to be good, and destruction could be coming our way if we choose that. Why? Because God has pity. God sends men and women, watchmen on the walls, prophets, messengers, because he has pity. And God loves America. God loves you. God loves your family. God loves your enemies. God loves America, and he loves the people of America. But will the remedies rise up? Will the individuals who know what God has shown is going to happen and don't lean one way or the other? The truth is that if we make the right choice, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be beautiful. Miracles, signs, wonders, outpouring, revival, the thick glory of God being poured out, just powerhouse. But if we make the wrong choice, it's going to be horrific. Destruction, theft, disaster, maybe even loss of our entire nation. Remember, he said, surely the Lord does nothing without revealing it, his plan through his servants, the prophets first. I mean, he's talking. It's not going to happen until we rise up and begin to say, hey, make a choice. But there comes a time, and this is what I'm concerned about. There comes a time when there's no more remedy. There comes a time when there's no more remedy. God sends the storm. God raises up the watchman. The prophets declare and explain what's happening. This is happening because we were doing this wrong. We have to repent, and God will forgive and show forth mercy and restore us. And the people don't respond. And the people don't respond. You see what happened in 1 Chronicles 36:11 there was King Zedekiah. King Zedekiah, he was king over God's people. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who was warning him. He was giving him a word from God. It wasn't about humbling himself before a man who has a ministry. It's about humbling himself under the word of God, who just came to him to humble himself, and he didn't. And he spoke against the word of the Lord. He rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, which was God's servant, part of the storm, to humble him. That was part of the remedy. Part of the remedy was the king of Babylon is going to work on your last nerve, take all your stuff, and hopefully humble you. But he didn't even respond. He rebelled even against the remedy.
Right.
He became stiff-necked. He hardened his heart. He would not turn to the Lord. And what happened next? All the leaders and the priests and all the people became more and more unfaithful to God. Followed all the detestable practices of all the nations that's not like God's people. That's what's happening in America. We're just adopting everything in the world. The church is acting just like it. And they defiled the temple of the Lord. We are the temple of God. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you, you're the building of God, that we defile ourselves. And what did God do? The God sent a messenger again and again, warning, maybe this will be the remedy. Maybe this will be the remedy. I'm talking about 36 here, church, 36. And the people responded by what? Mocking God's messengers. I mean, it's like a doctor fixing to give you penicillin because you have something you can be cured from, and you're mocking the penicillin. It's like, how foolish is that? They despised the words of God. If you bring that Bible up one more time, I am so tired. Don't you understand 82% of us aren't even reading anymore, and the ones that are reading it, only 3% are even current. We don't even listen. Those are just old fogey words. They don't mean they despise the word of God. And finally, they scoffed at his prophets. Listen, don't stop prophesying. Don't stop being a messenger because people respond in a wrong way towards you. Listen, you're the remedy. God loves them. He is wanting you to express his love to them that they would repent. Don't just get all Jonah on them and want to walk away from them. Realize this is God's. God is concerned about that and about the people of America. And this happened when they mocked and they despised his word and they scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people. And there was no remedy. And I feel like we're approaching that moment with America right now. I don't know how much time we have. But the mockers, it's just all these different organizations, they just, literally their whole purpose is just to mock and to belittle marriage and men and women and children and God's way and his words and his expectations and just scoff at them. And God was wanting to demonstrate his mercy to Israel. God's wanting to do that to us. But it's our choice. And so it was it. There was no remedy. It wasn't because he didn't try remedies. There was just no remedy. He tried all these other remedies. And everybody just said, no, I don't want penicillin. No, I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want this. They, you know, get out of here with that. I don't want, will you just stop that? You know, we want to be like these, the world. We want to act like the world. We want these things in the world. We want our marriage to be like the world. We want us, our families to be like the world. We want our money to be like the world. Just get out of here. They aroused the wrath of God against themselves. I'm talking about the wrath that just ends the world. I'm talking about you have broken your father's heart and there's nothing left. He's tried every remedy and something bad is about to happen. What was God's response? This is God's response. He brought up against them the king of Babylon, the very one they rebelled against that he thought he was bigger than. God made his servant Nebuchadnezzar bigger than them. Then the king of Babylon did this. Now that he was moved into power, he killed their young men with a sword in the sanctuary. You know, quit making a big deal about that building and start making a big deal about God's people as the building and realize it applies to us. You know, buildings are cool, whatever they are, but understand God will walk straight in that building and he will allow devastation to happen because we didn't deal with the contents of the building. Mm-hmm. We didn't deal with us. And God had Nebuchadnezzar go into the sanctuary and kill the young men with the sword. He didn't spare either the young men, the young women, the old men, or even the aged. He was just furious. You got a broken-hearted, jealous, loving God who's just going, I've tried everything and what you've done. And it's like, bam, bam, all these things are happening. And then God handed them over to Nebuchadnezzar, and he carried to Babylon all of the articles and the treasures and the temples of God. And they took all the kings and the officials' treasures, and they set the temple of God on fire and broke down the walls, which is our security, America. Our money's going. Our security's going. They burned all the palaces, destroyed everything of value, and carried into exile the remnant of God's people who escaped the sword. The ones that were running and just somehow hid behind something and prevented that encounter with the destruction that was taking place. Is there a remedy for America? Or is the church, are we just going to be arrogant to the loving hand of God and just say, Listen, God is so faithful when you read on. Even though he tried every remedy till there was no remedy and they stirred his wrath against them, even when they were walking in to their own choice of captivity as a slave, he's so loving, he's so kind. He had a plan 70 years later, already in his heart, to redeem them back to himself out of all this bondage, the next generation. Listen, God, it's all about the love of God. Why should we have to go through so much turmoil? Why should we stir the wrath of God against us who loves us? Why don't we just accept the remedy, repentance? You know, do the first works, getting back in love with Jesus again. Dump the religion. That's what nailed Jesus to the cross, getting a relationship with God. We are at a crossroads right here, and you personally have to make this choice. No witnesses, no suspects. If you know, and now you do know because I've been talking to you, and you can go on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and choose the menu prophecies, and you can see the warnings that are coming, earthquakes, financial collapse, millions of deaths, all this stuff. That's a road that can we can say, you know what? We're not going to take that road, God. Mm-hmm. We're going to repent. We don't need that to happen to follow you, God. And see, all that stuff doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
God had set in his mind and heart he was going to destroy Nineveh. It was a done deal. He sent Jonah there as a remedy to be able to deliver a word that if you'll repent, if you'll turn from your wickedness, if you will humble yourself, if you'll seek my face, then I will turn from this disaster that you presently have chosen because you're going to choose the right road, and I'll stop this destruction. And God, when Jonah finally showed up and started delivering it, they got so touched by this warning that they all began to put on sackcloth and ashes, and even their cattle, they even muzzled their cattle where their cattle couldn't eat. And God stopped the plans. He even extended the time that gave Jonah more time to warn more people. Why? Because God's not evil. God is good. God is looking for a chance to forgive us. But we have to say, God, I was wrong. God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for all the arrogance and the sin and the pride and the pride of life, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. God, I want to follow your ways. I want to hide your word in my heart. Listen, there is a remedy now. But there comes a time when there's no more remedy. There's no more remedy. And just the fact that God would dig through his box of remedies, that he would look for another, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this messenger, maybe that messenger, maybe the Twin Towers. You know, I'll take my hand off for a moment and they'll see the Twin Towers and everybody's going like, well, are they sinners or were they not sinners? No, that was a warning to us that life's not forever and that we're going to face eternity. It wasn't about them. It was about us. Mm-hmm. We've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God and that we've turned our hearts away from God and to turn back to them. These mass shootings that are taking place, that should warn us. He said, listen, he said that they'll come in with their swords and kill your young men in the sanctuary. What's happening up there in the school where they're walking into schools and this second heaven demon is taking a hold of this individual and they're slaying our children in the schools and we're not even seeing that this is a harbinger, that this is a warning. This is a possible remedy that all of us won't be slaughtered and that only a remnant would make it. These are warnings from a loving God saying this is the outcome. It's going to be like this 100-fold if you don't turn. The Lord is looking for an opportunity to show his goodness, to forgive, to restore, to bless. But he says, I put before you blessings and cursings. Choose.
Wow. It's just so powerful. This is the time to turn. And is there a remedy for America? There is a remedy if we choose. There is a remedy if we choose. Well, we're going to close out the extra hour today. We want to go directly to the VFN top three on the torch. And we're going to talk about the very first one. What happens when love grows cold?
Oh, yeah.
What happens when love grows cold? So listen, this is not good. This is not good. Because the Word of God tells us that in the last days, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most is going to grow cold.
Wow.
And when we grow cold, when our love grows cold, we're more prone to judge. We're more prone to become critical of others. And you know what? This should not be. To judge or to cause us to be critical and judgmental is not what God's called us to be. We are supposed to move in love.
But it's a battle, isn't it, though? When you think about the things we're having to battle, more things are happening to hurt our love, to harden our hearts, or we have to focus.
It's a fight.
You have to fight.
It's a fight. Offense will get you locked up.
Yeah.
It'll get you just, you know, and you won't be able to respond in love. And instead of having a default setting to offense, we have to help ourselves to get that default setting to keep telling ourselves, you know what? I'm just going to move in love. I'm just going to move in love.
You got to be willing to die for that.
Yeah.
Because they'll definitely kill you.
Oh, yeah. But you're going to die either way. So you might as well die loving.
Oh, yeah. Die on the right side of history, right?
Die on the right side of history.
But it's important. I was thinking about the other day, by the way, that we so have to pay attention. Because we don't want to be the one that loses our love, that we don't get offended by God's judgments, the judgments of the Lord. That, for whatever reason, you know, Joseph said, "My brothers betrayed me. I ended up in a pit. I was sold into slavery. I was lied on. All these different stuff." But he says, "You know what? He just kept on loving God through all of that."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Powerful. The second one we want to talk about is don't just cheer me up, but lift me up.
Yeah.
And this was a oldie but goodie. But we're talking about the Good Samaritan, and we're talking about how so many people write down so many messages of cheer me up and pep me up. But the truth is that we need a lift up, and we don't need to have a feel good message, you know, a rah rah sis kumba, you know what I mean. But what we need to know in this day and this hour is the truth. You know, the Word of God says that people, you know, in the last days will want their ears to be tickled. And let me tell you something, you can get your ears tickled, but you might be going over a cliff. The truth is that we need to hear the truth of God's word. Give me a lift me up. And the last thing we want to share, the number three on the torch as we come to a close is, you caught his eye.
Mm.
You caught his eye. Mm. You want to go to the VFNTV.com and listen to all of these segments, but you caught his eye. God's eyes are upon you, and he loves you and desires an awesome relationship with you. No matter what you're going through today, remember that you caught his eye.
Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.